in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." God has given me a number of messages from this particular passage, mainly in dealing with the matter of the church. The house of God is the local church, and he honors that. And that the local church is the church of the living God. We do not serve a religion or a theology. We serve a living, risen Savior, the Son of the eternal God, the only God. And how that we need to know and recognize and remember, without ever forgetting it, that he is aware of what we're doing tonight. He's aware of every group that gathers together in a church under the name of our Lord and Savior. And then I've preached on the matter of the church being the pillar and the ground of the truth, and where we're to have the truth taught from the Word of God, not fables, not something else, but the Word of God. And thus saith the Word of God. Now, we might have a lot of people that are good people, that are intelligent people as far as the world is concerned, that might have some good sayings, but none of them can outmerit or stand above the Word of God. The most important ones you want to listen to is God. I don't care what we think about someone else. It's God that we need to know about. Amen? Well, that's not the sermon I'm going to preach on tonight. The sermon I'm going to preach on tonight, and what God has me to preach on, is that we might know how to behave in the house of God. How to behave in the house of God. We've come to the place in our churches, including this one and others as well, that we want to make sure that those on the outside would want to come in and be part of our fellowship, so we're going to act like they act so that they will feel comfortable. How far from the truth can you get? That's the wrong way. It sounds good. It might be right as far as the world is concerned, but it's not right with God. And how that the world doesn't want to see where the way they're living because they're sick of it. They want something holy and right and something that they can have a challenge to and that is better for them than what they've got now. And we as Christians have dropped the ball on that. And we've done that by our attitude and our actions in God's house. Now, it's one thing what you might do out there on your own. Now, God will deal with you on that. But it's something else what we do collectively and what we allow to be done in God's house of the living God. And so we want to look at this tonight and let God speak to our hearts in that matter on that. So turn to Psalms 89. And verse 7. We need to realize, and we praise God. I praise God for how he wants to relate to us. He wants to relate to us as a father. Now, he can relate to us as the holy, almighty God, which he does, but he can let it be at that. And that means we come before him. We do not utter a sound. We do not speak unless he tells us to speak. We do not pray unless he gives us permission to pray. But that's not the stand that he takes. Though we have to pray in the name of Jesus or he will not hear us. Did you hear me? You must pray in the name of Jesus or he will not hear you. I don't know how good your prayer and what your intentions are. It must be in the name of Jesus. Now, he wants to be to us a father and we to him as children. But that doesn't mean we're to treat him like a brother or sister. It doesn't mean that we treat him without any respect. You cannot have a better father than our Heavenly Father. You cannot have a father on this earth that deserves respect more than what our Heavenly Father deserves. If anybody I ought to say yes, sir, to, and no, sir, it ought to be my Heavenly Father. Amen? But in that light, as we try to make people to be comfortable, the only way you can be comfortable before God is to come in the shed blood of Jesus Christ with your sins forgiven. And that's the best way to come. Amen? And you will have the comfort and the joy that He wants you to have. Now, in Psalms 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared. Now, I know this is the King James, and some of you have a little problem with that, but that word fear is talking about to be reverent, to be respected, to be greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. God wants us to come before Him with reverence and with respect of who He is. Used to, in our younger age, most of us that are here, we've got some that are younger that has not experienced this. Those in our society who were in position of authority or had any type of authority in their position, their jobs and what's going on, such as a physician. A physician was greatly respected. He had gone to school. He knew how to deal with various diseases and all. And in my younger years, when I would meet a physician, he was dressed properly in a suit. If he made a hospital call, it was in a suit. And you respected him for his position as a physician. Now today, you can't tell the difference between a physician and a bum, to put it bluntly. He dresses just like anything or anybody else, just like he came off the street and been there all night. Well, he's a busy man. They've been busy all their lives. I have lost respect for the physicians because of their conduct. Not only physicians, but a lot of people that are in a position of honor. One of the things that struck me above all things as growing up and going through school and going to school and going to the university is a professor. Dr. Rutledge, I honored the professors. They came to class dignified. They came to class in the matter that of their position, and they conducted themselves as such. And if I had the privilege of being able to talk to one, that was a privilege. Not a friend, but talking to a professor. The same thing with a school teacher. The same thing with anybody in position. They dressed accordingly, and they dressed in a way that was respectful to others. Now today, that's not the case. And of all places, now in our pulpits, in our churches, the respect of that position is being lost in their dress. Where we no longer respect. Well, God wants us and He accepts us any way we are. Yes, He does. And there'll be times when you do not have the clothes that you'd like to have to wear, but He respects what you do have because it's the best that you have. And I've mentioned that I've had people who come to church in overalls, but they were not the overalls that were greasy and dirty. They were not the overalls that they worked in. They were their Sunday go meeting overalls. We had clothes in the yesteryears of time that we call our Sunday to go meeting clothes. They might not be the most expensive or the best of clothes of others, but they were the clothes that we set aside to honor God in. To give respect to the one who we were worshiping. Now we might have someone who had to work late and they wanted to come to church and they pop in clothes that was not their Sunday go meeting clothes. That's fine. But when you have a choice, that choice needs to be of such that would honor and glorify God and not be like the world in them. And so we need to come in the assembly in respect to God. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now, brethren, we're not serving a fly-by-night religion. We're not serving some pop culture in it. We're serving a kingdom that cannot be moved. It's the kingdom of the Almighty, the creator of the universe. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. When God called me to preach, I had seen of other denominations a particular uniform that some of the ministers would wear. They'd have a collar turned around, a white collar on, or a coat or a suit that had the black part come, still have a little white in front. You could tell who they were on them. As far as evangelists and others of the Protestant denominations, and then those who were not Protestants, but just Bible believers and fundamentalists and all, they did not prescribe a uniform, but we did have one, and that was a decent suit and tie. Now, it was not told me that I had to wear a suit. It was not told me that what color suit it was to be. But if I got up in the pulpit without a black suit or a dark blue suit, without a white shirt and a dark tie, I got all kinds of response from the congregation. I was disrespectful to God. I knew that without being told. And then when it came time, I was pastor in Trinity Baptist Church. I got up to that point in my ministry, and the idea was I might wear a suit that wasn't black or dark navy blue and a different colored shirt. I had a hard time putting that on. Though I knew it was probably all right, that was still a suit. It was with dignity and still doing so. Now, and I've always done that and tried to do that even when I would make a hospital call. In the hospital, I would wear, try to have a sport coat on, especially a tie and shirt, and because I represented the Almighty God. I represented the true healer. And I wanted to represent him with honor and with dignity. I had to be careful about that because after a while, there's a time when I went in and would visit with one particular lady. I walked in. I didn't know her, and she didn't know me. And I the normal greetings, well, how are you feeling? Well, I've got this problem. I said, no, I'm not the doctor. She thought I was the doctor the way I was dressed. Now, today, I wouldn't have a problem with that. She'd know I wasn't a doctor if I wore a suit in there. But so there's sometimes we have to be careful about that. But nevertheless, it was to honor God. I was making preparation to go to Uganda in Africa in 1999, 98, or somewhere along in there. And I was told not to wear a suit coat. I was to dress with casual clothes and all and not to be dressed up. I was going into the bush area, and I would be with those back in the bush that didn't have money to buy aspirins or much less or anything else, and very poor, no running water and anything. And they had churches in there and pastors that were not able to have an education, and the pastors wanted to come together and be taught by an American pastor. That was with authority. Whether I had authority or not didn't make any difference. Just the fact that I was a pastor in America gave me great authority among them. They thought I knew something. And that quickly they found out I didn't. But nevertheless, there was that authority. Well, I took a sport coat. I took some ties. And I knew we were going to be given some gifts. And I thought, well, ties would be about the best thing to give. And I took, man, I had ties coming out the windows in our house. You know, as a pastor, and I still got ties, boku of ties, and I've given more away. They just grow in my house and produce. I took those ties. Those pastors, poor and uneducated, wanted to honor their God. They, of all things they would buy first, would be a sport coat. They loved and they felt they were honoring God when they put on that sport coat or suit coat. And sometimes they wouldn't have the pants to one. They'd just wear the coat. And then to have a tie. Man, when I started to give out ties, there was a mob on me. They were all wanting a tie in that. And I thought, these men want to respect their God and their position. And what are we doing in the States? How are we acting in the house of God? How much respect are we giving him? Look at Psalms 33. Psalms 33, Psalms chapter 33 and verse 8. In the yesteryears of time, I have experienced walking into an auditorium empty and feeling the holiness of God in that auditorium. Without knowing the past, without knowing what went on in that, I could just feel that the people that came and worshiped in that particular room respected God and did so with reverence. You could just feel that. I've gone into auditoriums that were not as built with materials such as we have here, just plain materials, yet it was clean and it was built and kept clean in honor of God and respect to a holy God. I've gone into temples with actual diamonds and rubies put into the walls, and the community around them was starving and dying for lack of food. You can go to the extreme in either direction with no respect or doing too much for glory and not necessarily of honoring God. There is a place that we can meet, and we find that in Psalms 33 and verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Did you get it? Stand in awe of God. What we do in a worship service, does it cause anyone to stand in awe of God of what we're doing today? Used to, you walked into a service, there was respect and honor to God, and you could do nothing less but stand in awe of the reverence that was there. One day here in this church, we had some visitors come in, and I'd met them, and I was up here for one of the classes, and met them, and they was new here, and just they weren't living here. They came; their sons were being enrolled in East Central, and so they were looking around. I said, "Well, let me show you the auditorium." When we walked into this auditorium, the words that came out of their mouth was, "Oh." They could feel the beauty of God. I pray for a revival, that we come back to the place when anyone that walks into this building, into this auditorium, would be in awe of a holy, righteous God. And that won't happen unless we, each one of us individually, have that respect to God and honor Him properly. With due respect. Then we find in Romans chapter 12, as we think about all that God is, and all that God has done for us and the blessings we have, and if anybody deserves respect, it's God. If anybody deserves to be honored, it's God. Now, used to it, not today, because all of our leaders from the president on down have dressed improperly, have conducted themselves without respect. They tried to become friends with the world by doing what the world does and have brought dishonor to their profession and to what is there. Before this stage came in our nation, 40 years ago, if I knew the president of a bank was coming to my house, or coming to my office, I'll grant you one thing. I would make sure that place would be in respect of his position. And if the president was to send a note and said, "I'm coming to visit you." Oh, my. I tell everybody, now y'all just get on your work clothes and come in here. And we'll be just like we're going to a ball game. This section will be a cheering group, and this over here, you do the clapping, and you do the wave on this and stand up. No, you wouldn't do that. There'd be great respect for it. Well, I tell you what, they don't deserve the respect that we ought to give to God. but God does. And we need to come to that place where we respect him and what we do. I look today, this morning, as God put this on my heart, here in our church, as I looked at the youth, and they're under the influence of the adults. Don't just mark them off by themselves. They're going by what we're doing. And as I looked around at the adults as to the conduct and what we did as we came into this auditorium, I don't know if I could tell any difference than what it would have been if this had been a stadium for a ball game. I don't think that there'd be any more disgrace or disrespect than what it was at be at a ball game than what was here. Now, individually, there'll be some individuals that come in and want to worship God and have respect to God, but with the general attitude, we've come here for entertainment. We've come here to be tickled, to kind of relax. We don't want to be stiff and be a rigid church. Relax and let it out, you know, and really let go. Well, are we worshiping God with our emotions or with our respect? When we worship with respect, you're going to have some emotions, and you'll have the time that you will. The amens will come forth, and the clapping will come forth. But not for emotions and not because of the beat of the music, but because of the message that is being proclaimed that is there. Amen or amazing. Now, what does God really want of us? Look at this now in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Oop, I left out a word. Did you catch it? Let me go back and read it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice holy. Not to the world? No. Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Without question, without doubt, every believer should go into the house of God to worship him with respect and dignity. Not that we would be holier than anyone else or act in that fashion, but that we would come in awe of a mighty God who has created everything, things we haven't even seen or even imagined. He's the Almighty, and he deserves our respect before him. Now, how do we do that? The next verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we began to encourage the women to wear clothes like men, and especially in our churches, and this began to come about, I began to question what was being done. I believed that women are to dress as women and men are to dress as men. Women, the Bible tells us that a man is not to wear that which pertains to a woman. Doesn't say women's clothes, but that which pertains or looks like a woman. It shouldn't even do that. God has a distinction between male and female. Now that's from God's word. Well, as I begin to look at that, I said, well, what's the importance of our dress? And of course, I was in the university in Weatherford, was wearing, and found out that through their test, if a man, especially me and my in the position as a counselor, if I wanted to be buddy buddy with the person that was coming in and be on their level, I would wear a casual clothing, and they would accept me as one of their own, not as one that can tell them anything, but just one that might reason with them. If I wanted to have a little bit of authority, I'd put on a suit, and if I really wanted to execute authority, I would have a suit and a vest on. The same thing with the women. If the women want to be in subjection to their husband, they'll wear a dress. If they want to be the boss and have the authority, they will begin to dress like a man. I had a family that came in, was having trouble with their daughter, and she was a teenager, and they didn't know what to do about that and was asking me about it, and I was counseling them in that, and I said, they said, how can we change this? I said, well, now, when she goes into that argumentative mode and she wants to go against what you're saying and all that is there, I said, how is she dressed? They said, what difference does that make? I said, it makes all the difference in the world. Well, she's got jeans on. I said, she's just like a tomboy. And she said, yeah. Make her come down and discuss that problem in a dress and see what happens. They did. They couldn't believe the change in her attitude toward them while she was in a dress. The same thing with the wife, same thing with us, with God. I found that to be true in our work ethics. Now, I wanted to be available 100% of the time for anybody that wanted to, that needed a pastor. And I was mostly in rural churches and rural areas. I've pastored some in the cities and all. And so if I got a call, I wanted to be right there immediately. If I received a call, somebody's in the hospital, I didn't want to have to take time to get dressed and change my clothes. I wanted to go right on there. And so I wore a tie all day long. My kids would make fun of me and tease me about wearing a tie while I was mowing the yard. And you can do that. You can do other things and be decent. I found that when I am dressed more organized, like with the suit or tie, I'm more precise in what I'm doing. I'm not going to be as sloppy as I would if I'm in casual clothes because I don't want to get my tie dirty. And so I want to be a little bit more organized in what I'm doing. But if I'm doing, if I go into the casual mode, I'll get paint everywhere. It doesn't matter. I don't matter rubbing in the dirt in that. Otherwise, I'm going to be more careful about what I'm doing. Well, think about that for a moment. When I come to church casually, I'm going to treat God casually. When I come to church with dignity, I'm going to treat God with dignity. It makes a difference. Now, here in this verse 3, be not conformed to this world. Our theme today in our churches is that we want to be like the world so that they will be comfortable in coming in our midst. That's not of God. God wants us to be different and raise the bar of the standard of living, of being right, being holy, being good, being lovable. The world is sick of the way they are, and they don't want to see something just like them. They want to see something that is holy and right. Not that we are coming across holier than thou. Now, you can take it to the extreme. But when we honor God, then they can come in and they will come to that position where they will respect God and be willing to obey God instead of rebel against Him. The church is not to be like the world. The church or the world is to become like the church. We're to influence the world to honor and to respect a holy, righteous God. And we've dropped the ball. I'm praying for revival, that we will come back to that place where we have respect in everything that we do in the church. Though I wasn't raised in a Christian home, yet I was taught I do not play in the auditorium when I went as a kid. I do not put my feet on the back of the pew in front of me. I do not lay down on the pew or stretch out on it. And if I sit on the end, I do not throw my leg over that like I was at home in my couch and watching TV. This is the house of God, and I'm to act with respect in His house. And when I do, I begin to obey God and not disobey Him. I pray that we'll have a revival and come back to that place. Not that we would be holier than thou. Not that we would be very rigid in this, but brethren, we've gone too far the other way. We need to come back with honor and dignity in our worship of a holy God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Did you get that? We think we can compromise and it's all right. This is said, there is no compromise. I don't care how good it sounds and what your reasoning might be. What seems right to man leads to destruction. Do you understand that? Let me read again. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. What is it that you do not understand about come out? What is it that you do not understand about being separate? What is it that you do not understand about touch not? Does that mean I can touch some things that I shouldn't touch? That I can compromise or look like this? I pray that we'll have a revival in our attitude, in our conduct, in serving the true, holy God that loves us. And in your private moments, you'll have that close relationship where you can cry out, Daddy, holy. But in a public assembly, we come to honor a holy, righteous, almighty God that deserves our respect and our honor. My kids in private might call me Daddy. In public, it's yes, sir, and no, sir. When we lose that, we're on the wrong road of disobedience and ungodly living. So I pray that we'll have a revival in many things of our life, but especially knowing how to enjoy ourselves in the house of God. That we can come with joy and we will sing not according to the beat of the drums, but according to the message of the song. We'll lift our voices in praise calmly and loudly, not from emotions of the music, but from the emotions of our heart, in honoring the living God, the only God. Oh, that this place would be known as the house of the living God with respect. And as people walk in, they will stand in awe of the attitude and the conduct of God's people. Where do you stand with it? I have the privilege now of confessing something to you publicly. And you don't have to do that. You can come to this altar and confess to God. I've already confessed it to God. I've been lax in some of the things of my conduct since I've been here. For a while, I wouldn't. On Wednesday nights, where we study God's Word, I come in like I was going to something other type of meeting. When I would teach the Bible, I've been relaxed in that no longer. I'm going back home. I'm coming back to the place where I respect God, and my conduct and my dress will let you know that I honor a holy, true God. I ask for your forgiveness. I've already asked for God's forgiveness, and He's forgiven me through the blood of Christ. A revival is beginning in my heart. Will it begin in yours? May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.